about the wrath of God. This was written about 100 years ago. It is sad indeed to find so many professing Christians who appear to regard the wrath of God as something for which they need to make an apology, or who at least wish there was no such thing. While some would not go so far as to openly admit that they consider it a blemish on the divine character, yet they are far from regarding it with delight. They like not to think about it, and they rarely hear it mentioned without a secret resentment rising up in their hearts against it. Even with those who are more sober in their judgment, not a few seem to imagine that there is a severity about the divine wrath that makes it too terrifying to form a theme for profitable contemplation. Others harbor the delusion that God's wrath is not consistent with his goodness, and so they seek to banish it from their thoughts. A study of the concordance will show that there are more references in Scripture to the anger, fury, and wrath of God than there are to his love and tenderness. Now, some folks, they'd have a problem with that. I have, through the years in the ministry, come across those that they couldn't handle that. No way. No way. When I was out in Idaho, I did a funeral for a family that were members of the church and the pastor. The boy was 7 years old. I got a call to go to the hospital where they had life-flighted him. And he was unhappy about having to take medication. And he, like kids do, I don't want to take it, you know, and that kind of thing, and sobbing. And anyway, he got caught. He died. And so I went, and family was there. Some were, it was kind of mixed. Some were Christian, some were Mormon. And the doctor said, I want to see the immediate family, mother and father, and I want to see the pastor. And okay, so I went back with him, and he said, the boy's name was Kevin. I said, Kevin is brain dead. We got him on life support. But what I mean by brain dead is his brain is not telling him to breathe. Nothing. Zippo. And so when we disconnect him, we know he's going to die. And that's just exactly what happened. I remember doing the funeral. And I remember someone saying to me, do you suppose God used Kevin's death for his glory? And I said, yeah. Well, there was a woman in front of me, a young woman. She flipped out. No, 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 my God wouldn't do that. David and Bathsheba, you remember that story? Bathsheba got pregnant. And what did God do about it? What did God say? I'll tell you right now, that child's not going to live. And when you read it, it says the Lord struck him. Now, do I believe that baby's in heaven? Yes, I do. See, we're going to see that tonight. We wrestle with stuff like that. How could you do this? Creative law. Here it goes again with the sovereign of God. I said this morning, as far as the love of God goes and the wrath of God, you've got to accept the sovereignty of God. Either God is over all, or he's not. Either he's the God of this universe and universes, or he's not. That's why I don't believe in global warming. You can talk about all the global you want. Warming. You get into the book of Revelations, you're going to see where there's some global warming. Big time. But it's not what you think. The wrath of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, we'll pick it up at verse 39. Verse 39 says, the Lord speaking, God speaking, see now that I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges unto the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Pretty strong words. Words we don't like to hear. Words we like, oh man, I like little fuzzy stuff. Again, I believe this. As I said this morning, the love of God, if you're his, you are his. You don't need to worry about that. What you need to be worried about and concerned about is if I'm not walking the Christian walk, God's going to deal with me. He's got every right to deal with me. It's like going to a father and saying, that little boy right there, who is that? That's my son. Doesn't he have a right to discipline his son? Because we live in a different time now. I realize that. Huh? You touch that child? I remember an incident. When my own son was going to turn me into the authorities for being a bad dad, I guess. I don't know what to call it. Let's look at Psalms 50. Psalms 50. Now, this is topical. I realize that. But all scripture, given by inspiration of God, we can't deny it. We can't say, well, I don't like that, and I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. Psalms 50. Pick it up at verse 16. It says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Now notice this. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation, his lifestyle, his manner of life, right, will I show the salvation of God. And the key there is, you thought I was like you. See, this is a problem with the world that we live in today and mankind, and has been all the way from Adam down. This is how I think you ought to act, Lord. This is what you should do. Why don't you bring down those thunderbolts and just wipe Washington, D.C. out? Because that's not how he works. He's got it planned out. He's got a plan. We need to trust him on it. I don't need to know him. He don't have to answer to me. My job is to trust him. My job is to disciple and try to bring glory to Jesus Christ while I'm here on this earth. Everything else is immaterial. The things that we consider important here are not going to be important in heaven. I mentioned some of them this morning. You know, what? You don't think there'll be any golf courses in heaven? No, I don't. I don't really. No. Gee, I don't know if I want to go or not. I had a woman say to me one time, a dog's going to be in heaven? I said, I don't really know. Well, I'll tell you right now, if they're not, I don't want to go. I love my dog. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. What happened to that? You see what I'm saying? We want God to bend to our will, do things our way. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I preached on this one time with you folks, I believe. When you look at verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Now notice verse 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, and he maketh rich. He bringeth low, and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the thrones of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. God is in control. This is what Hannah realized. She realized the sovereignty of God. And of course, we know what Hannah did. She prayed for a son, and God gave her one. And she gave him back to the Lord. And God used it. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. This goes along with what we read in Psalms 50. You kind of thought that I was like you. Isaiah 55. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 55. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Do I think we're in the end times? Yeah, I do. I think we are. Just take it day by day, see what's going to happen. But I do believe this. There's going to be a sifting. God is going to see and show us. Are we really for the Lord? What are we going to do when things get real? I mean, we caught a little bit of this during the COVID thing. There's no paper towels. There's no toilet paper. Milk is $15 a gallon. Gas is about the same. What are you going to do? Something to think about. I truly believe, that we're going to be forming cell groups. This will be shut down. No, you can't. No. You guys are wackos anyway. So we'll have to meet like some of them do in China right now. They spend all day going to a house so that they can have an hour service of praying together. Probably won't sing because that'll draw attention. But I believe it's coming to that. And I believe if you put up a squawk, well, we just have to silence you. That's what it's coming to. As I said this morning with 7,151 different languages, God understands every one of them. He knows. I said at the nursing home, we shared with them the promises of God. God knows where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. There's nothing about you that you can tell God. God can say to you, "Yeah, you're right. And here's why you're doing that. You know this. Here's. Am I right?" You're right. So there's 3 points I'm going to share with you. Number one, the wrath of God is as much a divine perfection as is His faithfulness, His power, or His mercy. That's who He is. That's the way we want it. Do you think that criminals ought to be punished? Sure. I think the worst thing they ever did, I mean, it's scriptural. They took away the death penalty. That's not a deterrent. Really? It's not? How come in some of the Muslim countries, if you steal, they cut your hand off? I'd say that was a deterrent. Romans chapter 9. I think we might have touched on this morning, but we'll touch on it again. Pick it up at verse 9, Romans 9, 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, Pam and I were talking about this morning. This woman is beyond childbearing age. And as you read the story, and she... Yeah, right. I'm going to get a child of my old age. Yeah, right. And God said, why is she laughing? Oh, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. Only God can do this. And he did. There was no deity involved here. By that, I mean, it wasn't like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came on Mary. Abraham and Sarah had a son in their old age. Ten. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. And I mentioned this morning. For the children being not yet born, notice this, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. This is what God has planned. We may scream and holler and kick. It's his choice to make. He created us. He knows what's best. He knows what's best for you. Our problem is, I know what's best for me. No, you don't. All the trouble you got into, Ken? As a Christian, you want to say this sometime. Boy, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. That woman of mine, that man of mine, I tell you what, I can't stand them. They don't do nothing lazy. How long have you been married? 9 years. Well, let me ask you this. Did you both pray? Did you pray about marrying a person? Did you ask God where he was in this? Well, no. Well, I know I'm guilty of that, too. We don't want to bother him. You know? I'm not saying that you need to pray for a blue Ford Mustang, but you might want to ask God, Lord, do I really need a car? You know, guide me. Help me. I'm relying on you. That's proof. Verse 12, it says, it was said unto her, the eldest should serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there in righteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And that's simply saying this. God is saying, I make that decision. Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And Paul puts this in. Hath not, does not the potter power over the clay and of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor? And another unto dishonor? You got to say yes. He has every right to do that. Why? Because he's a potter. It's his clay. He's the one that's doing the building. He's going to do what he wants. We have got to realize there's some questions that God is not obligated to answer in any way. That's one of the first things I remember when I was listening after the Lord opened my heart. I remember a preacher saying that. God is not under any obligation to answer your question, why?
Verse 22.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto God? Then he goes, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. I think of Pharaoh. And when you study that, God knew. God knew what Pharaoh was going to do. He showed the Israelites, listen, I can take care of you. Trust me. He does that with us. Number 2, we should have a true fear in our souls for God. Now, what do you mean by fear? I mean, number 1, Number 2, the fear could be a reverence. Lord, I realize you love me. I don't understand why you do, but I'm glad you do. But let me ask you this. Let's go back to the first part. Is there a true fear of God today in this world? Not in the world. They don't fear him at all. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Verses 28 and 29. It says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, notice this, with reverence and godly fear. And verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. He's not going to let you sit on the fence. No. He's not going to let you get in your comfort zone. I'll tell you right now, if you want to see things happen in your life, just kick back, relax, say, man, this is good, this is sweet. I don't have to do nothing. I feel sorry for you. Because you're going to see things happen in a hurry. What's our job as Christians? Why are we here? To glorify Christ. To glorify Christ. Number 3. To draw out our souls in fervent praise for our having been delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's pick it up at verse 7. It says, so that you were ensamples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Now notice this. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We are his. Revelation chapter 6. Let's pick it up at verse 9. It says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? When you get into reading Revelations in parts, it'll say things are going to get so bad that they're going to shake their fist at God. Things are going to get so bad that men are going to try to kill themselves, and they're not going to be able to do it. It's not going to work. I mean, you picture the best scenario you want. It's not going to happen. He held the gun to his head and pulled the trigger. Maybe it was a misfire. Or maybe he puts a bullet right through his head, but he ain't dead. He ain't going to die. Why? Because God's not going to allow it. No, you're going to take the torment. Serious? Yeah. Do you believe it? Yes, I do. Absolutely. It's in God's word. See, we don't want to hear things like that. My God makes me feel all happy and fuzzy. That's the way I like it. Well, you got to face reality, too. That's why I say when I look at the world today, I feel sorry for them. I really do. You have no concept. You don't understand. If we do not truly rejoice in God for what he is in himself, how dwelleth the love of God in us? Psalms 97. In verse 11 and 12. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I personally believe that those parts in Revelations, if we're his, as it said in Thessalonians, he'll keep us from the wrath to come. But a person, listen to me, you better be sure. You better be sure. How do you know you're one of the elect? Because you love the Lord and you can't stand to live without him. You want him to be glorified. I told Pam, I don't care if I ever work on another clock again. I don't care about that stuff. What's important now is, and it has always been this way, it's taken, I praise him for his patience. August, I'll be 80. I want to serve the Lord. I want to glorify Him. And if the day comes that you have my funeral here, I hope it's said that, you know what? You know, Brother Ken was a whole lot of wacky. But he loved Jesus. That's the best thing that can be said. I don't care what people think about me. No, I don't. No. If that's not their thing, well, hey, you don't need me in your life. I can live with that. You know, I learned early in the ministry that not everybody loves Ken Bliven. Number one, the wrath of God is as much a divine perfection as is His faithfulness, power, and mercy. Number two, we should have a true fear in our souls for God, a true reverence, and a holy fear. Realize who we're dealing with, who is way, 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 way above us. You know, in the scriptures, God says when He forgives our sins, He separates them as far as the east is from the west. And I remember looking at that and thinking about that. Think about this. God's pretty smart, you know. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south. North and south, you got a limit. You go north so far, and guess what? You're going to start heading south again, right? You go south so far, you're going to be heading north again. But east, you can just keep going and going and going and going. The wrath of God. There's so much more. We haven't even touched the surface. But it's a part of God. You can see it. You can see it especially in the Old Testament. You can see. You can see when God said, no, there's too many of you. There's too many of you to fight. I can't give you the victory because I'm paraphrasing. You're going to get the idea that you guys did it. I don't want that. I want you to understand that I fight for you. And He did. He did it with His power. Who would have thought that God would have won a war against the Israelites with a bunch of hornets? But He did. He put the bees. Well, how about, do you believe Elijah laying there by the brook, being fed by the ravens? What do you think he got? He probably got chicken nuggets from McDonald's or something. I don't know what but it was enough to sustain him. God took care of that. God's going to take care of you and I if we keep our focus on Him. We shared this morning in Sunday school, Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. What other things? What to wear? What to eat? Clothing? You seek me first, I'll take care of the rest. As I said, God has never, He's never failed me. Not once has He ever failed me. I've failed Him plenty of times. The love of God and the wrath of God. Remember those two things.